Good morning again. Great to have you here. Isn't it great to meet in the Newburgh High School Auditorium? Isn't it beautiful? Someday we'll build a church like this. Well, so thankful that you're here today. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to take our tithes and offering, and this is a part of what we do every Sunday at our church. And one of the things is our core value at our church is the value of generosity, that we give so much away. In fact, the one thing that I brag about to my friends about our church is the amount of money that we give away as a church. Last year, we gave away over $160,000 to missionaries, to local missionaries, to nonprofits, to Love Inc. here in town. And so we give away. Generosity is just part of our value. We believe in expanding the kingdom of God and giving towards his kingdom. And so today as we give towards the kingdom of God. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here, to be in your presence, to be in this place and in this space. And God, I ask as we seek to worship you and glorify you, that you would move in our hearts and our minds and our souls. And Lord, as we give back to you today, we do so knowing that you are our provider, our sustainer. In fact, everything we have is yours. We are only stewards of what you've given us. And so we give back to you as an act of praise and worship, knowing that you will provide for us, God, knowing that you will use whatever we give, you will use it to advance your kingdom. Lord, we love you so much. In your name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Well, I heard a story this past week. I wanted to share it with you as the buckets are going around. It was a story about a family that decided to take a trip to Israel, to the Holy Land. Has anyone been to the Holy Land? And so they decided to take a trip to Israel. And so he took his wife and they had their kids. And they also decided to take his mother-in-law along with them. And so they went to Israel and they did the whole tour. They started in Bethlehem where Jesus was born, right? They went on to those sites. Then they went to the Jordan River where he was baptized. They went to the Sea of Galilee. They went to where they believed the Sermon on the Mount was. And then in the last week, they went, which is the Holy Week, Passion Week, as they went through and traced the steps where they think Jesus walked in those last few days. Well, something tragic happened in their last few days of their trip. This man's mother-in-law suddenly passed away. She passed away while they were in Israel. Now, they had this tour guide that was taking them around. Some of you are wondering, why are you telling this story on Easter? They had this tour guide that was taking them around. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I'm a tour guide, but I'm also a funeral director. And he said to them, listen, he said, to send your mother-in-law back home will cost $5,000. But we could do a great funeral and burial here in Israel for $500. Well, the guy thought about it. You know, he didn't think about it too long. He goes, no. He goes, I'll pay the $5,000. We'll send my mother-in-law back home. And the guy said, you know what? We'll make you even a better deal. All right, you know those people, right? They won't let you go. We'll make you a better deal. We'll lower it half price. We have a half price special today. $250. Now you could have a burial in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land. All your friends and family will remember it forever. And he looked at him. He said, "No, I'm gonna send her home." He looked at him. He said, 2,000 years ago, you buried someone and he rose from the grave. I can't take that chance with my mother-in-law." Well, if your mother-in-law is here, would you just look at her and tell her that you love her? Give her a big hug afterward. So you have to apologize for laughing at that one. Well, at our church, the mission of our church, our mission is to inspire people to know Jesus. To inspire people to know Jesus. We believe if we can introduce people to Jesus, then it is him who does the transforming work. And I tell you, I've been a Christian a long time. We as people try to do the transforming work ourselves. Am I right? We try to do the transformation ourselves, but if you've made the mistakes I've made, it just doesn't work. So our mission to inspire people to know him, introduce people to him, because we know Jesus really is the one who does the transforming work. In fact, there's a few phrases that we have come to say at our church. In fact, we have embedded them into our DNA. And the first one is this. The first one is that it's okay to not be okay at church. All right? Have you heard me say that? It is okay to not be okay at church. Listen, church isn't just about dressing up, looking good on Easter Sunday. It's not just about kind of getting your act together, all right? And the more I talk about it's okay to not be okay, the more people come to me and say, you know what, Pastor, I'm really not okay. This is what's going on. So it is okay to not be okay. The second thing is this. In fact, we've entitled our entire Easter service, this is, you can come as you are. And our hope is this. Our hope is that you're changed by the grace and love of Jesus. You see, Jesus does accept us as we are. He accepts you just how you are. In fact, he loves you. It's interesting because sometimes we think the more we do, the more God will love us. Or the less we do, the less God will love us. God's love doesn't work like our love. You get that, right? His love is unconditional. He loves you the same no matter what. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. His love is incredible for us. That is our mission at Newburgh Foursquare Church. I am so glad that you're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus along with 1/3 of the world's population. You know what? No other event has impacted the world as much as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's important because the resurrection changed everything. You know, as well as I know, that many people have died for their faith. In fact, I've talked about this before, that within 200 years, about 100 years before and after Jesus, there were 7 other men who either claimed to be the Messiah or people thought that they were the Messiah. 7 of them died for their faith, but only one rose from the grave. Only one came back from the dead, and he made an impact for eternity. And I want to talk about that impact for a moment. When Jesus died in 33 AD, there were about 120 followers at that time. 120, that's a small church today, okay? 120 followers. A few years before that, there was only 12. There was only 12. Now today, there are over 2.3 billion people who profess to be Christians. That's a lot of people. 2.3 billion, which means Christianity, the church, is the largest movement on this planet. It's the largest collection of people on this planet. It is the largest organization on this earth. And the question becomes, what happened? How did this faith that started with 12 and grew to 120 come to be 2.3 billion people? How did it happen? Especially with this fact in mind, that Jesus never wrote a book. In fact, he never wrote anything down that we have recorded. Yet, there are more books written about Jesus Christ than any other subject in history. Now, many of you know this. Jesus never composed a song. All right? He never wrote a song. He never put it together with chords and a guitar. He didn't pump the bass, okay? He never wrote a song. Yet, there are more songs written about Jesus than any other subject in history. Jesus never drew any pictures that we know about, all right? His mom probably hung them on the fridge, but we don't have them today. He never sculpted any statues. Yet, there is more art about Jesus, bar none, than any other subject in the entire world. Jesus never traveled more than 200 miles from the place of his birth. Right? That's like to Seattle, maybe a little south of Eugene, right? He never traveled further than 200 miles from where he was born. Yet, You can find followers of Jesus in every nook and cranny on this planet, in every continent, in every country. You can find people who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, friends, the resurrection of Jesus wasn't just a small blip in world history. In fact, it was the central event in world history. The moment in which everything for millennia before was rushing towards. And when it happened, everything emerged new. In fact, every event in history that is dated, every event is dated, even your birthday, in reference to the birth of Jesus Christ. So every time you write a date on your checkbook, if you still write checks, all right? If you're under 20, you don't even know what a check is. But every time you write a date, whether you think about it or not, most of us don't think about it, Jesus Christ is your reference point. Even the atheists, every time they write a date, it's in reference to Jesus Christ. They might change AD to CE, but it's in reference to Jesus Christ. The death and resurrection of Jesus sent a shockwave that was felt throughout the world. And it continues to move with power even today. The reason Christianity is spread across the globe is because it truly is good news. The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. In fact, I would say it's great news. And it is the greatest news when you come to understand it and believe in it and receive it. What I want to do for a few moments is I want to talk about what the resurrection means for us. Many of you, you were given a handout, so you can take notes if you want. I want to talk about five things really quickly about the benefits of the resurrection. When we put our faith in Jesus, what does it really mean when we do that? The first one is this, that we can be free and we can be forgiven. When we put our lives in trust our lives to Jesus Christ, we can be free and we can be forgiven. Some of you, maybe you're new to church, you ask, well, free from what? I'm already free, all right? I live in America. I'm free. I'm part of NRA, all right? I like my freedom and I like my rights. I'm already free. Free from what? Free from the pain and mistakes that hold us down. In fact, if you've ever felt like you're stuck, unable to get out of the pit that you're in, Jesus can set you free. If you've ever been caught in an addiction, in a behavior that's destructive not only to you, but to the people around you, Jesus can set you free. That we can be free and we can be forgiven. Forgiven from our past mistakes. Forgiven from the offenses we've caused other people. Offenses that we've had against God. And listen, there is nothing that you've ever done that cannot be forgiven by God. Nothing. Nothing. We get set free and we get forgiven. The second thing is this. The second benefit of the resurrection is this. Jesus defeated death. So we don't have to, and we don't have to fear it. Jesus defeated death, so we don't have to fear it. Listen, I've spent time with people, both who followed Jesus and those who haven't, when they've been near their death. And let me tell you, in the last days of someone's life, there is a clear difference between those who believe in Jesus and those who don't. Between those who confess Jesus and those who don't. One has a security and one has fear. Jesus defeated death so we don't have to fear it. The third thing is this, is that we get God's Spirit within us. This is huge as a follower of Jesus Christ. When we receive him, we get God's Spirit within us. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, he said, in the book of John, he said, I've got to leave you on earth, and I've got to leave. And so after his resurrection, he ascended up to heaven. And he said, I've got to leave you. Because if I don't, then the Holy Spirit won't come. So I'm going to leave so the Holy Spirit can come. And so what Scripture teaches us, what the Bible teaches us, is that because of the resurrection, every single person who believes in Jesus can receive the Spirit of God within them. Now listen, the Spirit of God is the driving force, the very breath of God himself. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the second verse says this, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And the next few verses and the rest of that chapter begin to talk about the Holy Spirit in the very beginning is the creative force of God creating the world and ordering the world. It is because of the Spirit. And Scripture teaches us it's that Spirit that dwells in us. In fact, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. Somebody say amen. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. The fourth thing is this. The benefits of the resurrection is God has a purpose for our lives. God has a purpose for our lives. This is significant because I've talked to a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of people who've come to me and said, you know what? I don't really have a clear direction in my life, right? Would you give me some advice? Or they say, what should I do? And I'm not feeling satisfied in my career. I'm not feeling happy in my marriage or my family. Just tell me, what should I do? What should happen? I don't feel like I have purpose in my life. The benefit of Jesus rising from the grave is that God gives us purpose. He gives us meaning. Listen, there are a lot of people who are uncertain about their destiny. They're uncertain about your very reason for existence. Many people question that. Why am I even here? It is because of the resurrection. It is because of the resurrection that we get a purpose and destiny in our lives. The last one is this. The fifth one is this. Is that we can be certain of our future in heaven. Listen, this is a big deal to me. We cannot forget this one. In fact, I would just confess and say, and maybe even apologize, that in the last 15 years or so, the church has actually shied away from this last point. In fact, a lot of times we've made church about seven steps to getting your life back in order. And we forget about the fifth one. That everything that God is doing in our lives right now is preparing us to spend eternity with Him. It is not just to make you look better. You look pretty good already, all right? It's not just to make us feel, but it is to prepare us. Does God want to restore us on earth? Absolutely. But we cannot forget this final one, that we can have a certainty of our future with Jesus. Everything done on this earth is preparation for our future. In light of this truth, the five benefits of the resurrection, all of you know them, you understand them. In light of this truth, I want to ask you two questions today. And the first question is found in the book of Luke, chapter 24. It's towards the right of your Bible. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Luke chapter 24, we're going to read verse 1 through 12. This is the story of women coming to the tomb and finding it empty. Finding it empty. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, it's Sunday, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Well, what's happening here? Why did they bring spices? Listen, these women did not get a chance to prepare Jesus' body for burial. I mean, you know what happened. Jesus died at the cross, everyone scattered, and this man named Joseph from Arimathea took Jesus and took his body and decided to put him into his own grave. And so he put Jesus in there. His disciples and followers, they scattered. And so they were coming to prepare his body for burial. They were bringing spices to prepare. They had no idea what was going to happen. In fact, on Saturday, which would have been their Sabbath, but right, Jesus died on Friday, rose on Sunday. On the Sabbath, they didn't go because they couldn't be around dead bodies on the Sabbath. So they didn't even go to the tomb. And so they were grieving. And that Saturday was the darkest day in history for many people. And so they went to the tomb. They brought their spices to prepare his body. Verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered it, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to him, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you? While he was with you in Galilee, he said this, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners to be crucified and on the third day be raised again.'" I love verse 8. It says this, "Then they remembered his words." Hey, this gives me hope. Because some of the women who were closest to Jesus, who would say they were followers of Jesus, they didn't fully believe in him yet. It's why we say here at our church, you can belong before you believe. Because Jesus invited a group of people to belong into his community before they really believed in him. And it was only after where these angels freaked them out, came down from heaven, sitting on the stone, and then said to them, did you forget what he said? Oh yeah, he said he was going to rise again. I just didn't believe it. Verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, remaining disciples, and to all the others. There was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Verse 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying on the ground. I love this. Wondering to himself, what happened? What happened? Now, hindsight's 20/20, right? With it, Peter, come on, you spent 3 years with Jesus. He told you this over and over and over. Hey, I'm going to die and then I'm going to rise from the grave. He said it in several different ways, in different parables. I mean, he communicated this message. Peter wondered what happened. Well, the rest of Luke chapter 24 tells the story of Jesus appearing to disciple after disciple. And in verse 36, he appears to all of them at once. It says this, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Listen, there is a question that the women are asked in this. A question, and it's the first question that I want to ask you today. It's a question that I feel like God has asked me. And the first question is this, that the angels asked the women. They said, why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus was not in the tomb because he lives. Tombs are for dead people. The women should not have been looking for Jesus there. This is a great question. I think this question's relevant for us today. Well, how do you say, Aaron? How often do we look for something to give us life in a tomb that's empty that only gives us death? How often do we search the world? How often do we look for elements to fill our life, to give us life, and all we end up with is death? Why do we look for life among death? Let me explain something for a moment. Many of you already know this. When God created humanity, he created us. In Genesis 1:26, he says this, he created us, male and female, in the image of who? God. It's called the Imago Dei, the image of God. Now, the image of God is the imprint of God himself in the life of every man, woman, and child. And so every human that's ever been born was created with the image of God within them. The image of God that's been deposited, in fact, is part of who they are. God placed it within Adam and Eve and everyone since then to be a place where only he resides in, and the image of God is this to be this reflection to humanity and to the world of Jesus. And in fact, it's to radiate God and reflect God's glory on earth. That's what the image of God is. And the image of God is that place that's deep within our soul, within the very fiber of your being, that is only reserved for God himself. And God being within us, sitting on that throne, he was dethroned in Genesis chapter 3 when sin entered the world, when Adam and Eve made the grave mistake. And it was at that moment the image of God was broken. And that seat that sat within them, that was once reserved for God, sat empty. You see, without Jesus, we spend our lives wandering the earth, attempting to fill our lives, to find something to satisfy us. And let me tell you, all we come up with is empty, is emptiness. At the end of the day, all we come up with is emptiness. You see, Jesus, in his death and resurrection, he offers us something deep down that our hearts long for. But that question, why do we look for the living among the dead or among the tombs? Well, there's two reasons I want to talk about real quickly. Why do we as humanity look for life among death? And I'll be the first to admit that I've done this. The first one is this, to escape. Escape from what? Escape from pain in the world. Did you know that humans are the best escape artists? Right? Does anybody really like pain anyway? I don't think so, right? No one likes pain. But when we experience pain, our tendency is to escape from it. And we look for life in areas of the world where there is no life. We look for something to cure the pain, to subdue the pain. And all what we find is a mask for the pain, a temporary relief, but it's not permanent. And when we do that, we put on layers and layers and layers to mask the pain, to medicate the pain. The second reason that we look for life among death is this, is because we don't want to feel empty. You know, most people today will say, most experts will say, that we are the most connected generation to ever live on the face of the earth. How many would agree with that? All right, how many have a Facebook account? All right. How many of you wish you didn't have one anymore because that person added you from 30 years ago? All right. Listen, we are the most connected generation. In fact, we have more connection around the globe than anyone ever has to ever walk the face of the earth. I have friends all over the world. Some of them, I don't know who they are, but I have friends, all right? And so in a click of a button and 30 seconds, I can connect with people on the other side of the globe. We're the most connected generation to ever walk the face of the planet. Psychologists will say this, that the generations today, and especially the one coming up, the next generation, they call it the Z generation, even though they're the most connected generation ever walk on the face of the planet, they are the loneliest generation. And I tell you, you look at our young people today and you realize that. And you look around today and you realize, although my Facebook says I have 800 friends, man, I don't feel like I can talk to any of them. I don't feel like I can really say what's going on. Right? And so we feel empty. And so my question to you, and in fact, the angel's question to you, is are you looking for life in places where you will not find it? Is it at the bottom of your last beer can? Was it in the romance of your last relationship? Was it in the last chat room? Was it in your last addiction? And maybe you got freed from that one, but you started another one? Listen, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, the very presence of God comes and dwells within you, and God himself takes up residence within you. And he fills the seat, the image of God that has been waiting for him, and he fills that. And so he comes, not as a medication to the pain, but as a healer to the pain. And he comes not just to give you momentary satisfaction from your emptiness. He comes to fill you with joy. It is the very presence of God. And when that happens, when that takes place, something new and miraculous takes place. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite verses in the scripture, talks about this miracle. It says this, I'll put it up on the screen. Therefore, how many of you have heard this verse? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has, help me out, come. If anyone is in Christ, what the Apostle Paul says, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Let me illustrate this for a moment. Now, I'm the kind of person that I have a few things that I really, really love, right? Is anybody like that? Besides my family, it's a given. I love my family. But first of all, I'll say this. I'm not a hoarder. I don't have a lot of things, but the things I do have, I really like, all right? That's the kind of person I am. So there's two things that I really like. The first one is my computer. I have a MacBook, all right? And by the way, I'm an Apple guy, and you won't ever change my mind, all right? They're just better. And so I was supposed to offend you with the gospel, not with a computer talk, all right? And so I've got this laptop computer, and I've had it for several years. It's 5 years old, I'm probably exaggerating, but I feel like it's my lifeblood. Aaron, that's ridiculous, right? It's just a computer. Because everything important I feel that I've ever said, every sermon I've ever given, I've done this for 14 years, right? I have over 500 sermons. Every great thought that I think I had, you will argue with me on that one, I know it. Every great thought I thought I've ever had is on that computer. I've recorded it. I've written it down. In fact, some of my most memorable, I journal by hand. I'm still a little old school, but I will turn that in and write that and type that. Everything I've ever done that's been significant is on my computer. So a couple months ago, my computer started making noise. You know when that happens, right? And I could get a new computer, but I don't want a new one. I like my computer. And it started making noise. And at first it was this kind of whirring sound, like and then it a couple months later it got bad, and it was it sounded like a demon was in my computer. I think I even prayed over it, right? In the name of Jesus, leave. And my prayer didn't work for that one, right? So then I decided, okay, let's figure this out. And so I flipped the computer over. I bought the little tools to take those screws out that you can barely see. And so I took off the back to see what was underneath. And so as I took it off, I realized that the fan was broken. And there was a screw loose in the fan that was making this noise. And so I looked online, like all of you, to fix something rather than taking it to the store, and I bought the fan online and I fixed it, and now it works fine. But it's 5 years old, and you know what? It's gonna have it's not gonna live forever. My computer isn't saved, okay? It's not gonna live forever. At some point, it's gonna die. I'm gonna have to get a new one. I'm just hanging on. There's another thing that I love that I don't want to throw away, and it's a pair of shoes. Does anybody have a pair of shoes that you absolutely love? Well, I do. I got them 12 years ago, and they were my dress shoes. And they were the most comfortable shoes I've ever had. In fact, I wore them every single day of my life, all right? And I was a youth pastor, and even during the office, and even at night, we had this basketball hoop, and I played basketball in my dress shoes. Right, and I did it for years. Well, about 5 years ago, when the soles were almost worn out and the shoe polish didn't work anymore on these nice leather shoes, I made them my yard shoes, right? And they are the most comfortable yard shoes in the world, all right? But they are hideous. I wish I had a picture for you. They are hideous. I think my wife wants me to throw them away, right? They are ugly, but I just, what I keep trying to do, just kind of like my computer, I'm just trying to fix it a little bit. And now every time I mow the lawn, my feet get wet. I've worn the soles completely through, but I'm not done with them yet. I'm not done with them. Why do I tell you those stories? Because sometimes we think our Christian life, when we receive Jesus, sometimes we think it's just about getting an upgrade. It's just about getting a fix. It's just about Jesus tweaking with us. It's just about him making our life a little better. But that is not the gospel. The gospel is not about just doing a few little tweaks to make you feel better or look better or be better. The gospel is 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You're not just a good upgrade. You're not a better version of yourself. In fact, it says the old you is gone and the new you has come. The old has gone away and the new has come. When you invite Jesus into your life, it's not just an improved you, it's a new you. You become a new person in Jesus Christ. There's a second question that I want to ask you today. The second question, this question's asked by Jesus. In fact, it's found in John 11, 25 through 26. Jesus is talking to this woman, Martha, which most likely she was there at the tomb when it was empty. And Jesus had just healed her brother, Lazarus. Many of you know the story. And so she's struggling with who Jesus is. I mean, she just saw him rise her brother from the grave. And she's struggling with it. And Jesus said to her, he said this, verse 25 and 26. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And here's the question he asked Martha. He said this, do you believe this? In fact, friends, I would say that's the most important question we could ever be asked. In fact, isn't that the Easter question? Why we gather on Sunday? Why we make a big deal about Easter, about Resurrection Day? Isn't that the ultimate question? Do you believe this? Jesus asked Martha that question 2,000 years ago. And I think Jesus is asking you that question today. Do you believe? Do you want the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus? Do you want Jesus to sit on the throne of your heart? Do you want him to come into your life? Do you believe in Jesus? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to say a prayer. I want to ask some of you to repeat that prayer, all of you to repeat that prayer. But this is what I'd ask. This is what I ask. Is that if some of you are here today, and maybe you've never been asked that question, do you believe in Jesus? Or maybe you've never said yes to that question. But I think today is the day. And I want to lead you through a prayer. And if you're here today and you say, you know what? I've never believed this message, but I'm ready to start today. I'm ready to believe today. When we say this prayer, I want you to mean this prayer. And then for some of you today, maybe when you were younger, you said yes to Jesus. I remember saying yes to Jesus when I was 4 years old. But I tell you what, I lived a life of up and down. In fact, when I was 20 years old, tragedy struck, and I was at the lowest point of my life. And it was at that point where I said yes to Jesus again. And from that point on, 16 years, I've been living for him. And some of you are here today, and maybe you've said yes to him in the past, but you've walked away from him today, and you want to come back to him. As we say this prayer, as you repeat this prayer, I want you to mean this. This is between you and God. Would everyone in the room repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my mistakes. And I believe he rose from the grave. Forgive me of my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Give me your Spirit to help me live the life you've called me to. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment longer? I want to ask you one more thing, one more courageous thing. And this isn't between you and the person next to you. This is between you and God. And if you're here today, whether you've never said yes to Jesus or whether you're ready to come back to him, if you made that prayer real today, if you made that prayer real today, I want you to do one thing, one courageous thing between you and God. If you are here today and you said that prayer just became real, wherever you're at, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just lift your hand if that's you? Just lift it up high. Amen. Just keep it up for a moment. Amen. Amen. Can put your hand down. It is in this moment that God's Spirit is rushing into you, that his power is flowing into you, that he has erased any mistake you've done in the past. He's forgiven it, and you get to walk in freedom today with his Spirit. Does it mean the Christian life is going to be easy? No. But it means we have a Savior to walk us through the pain and the trials of our life. And we have the Holy Spirit to give us joy, not artificial joy, but real joy, authentic joy, true joy. God's power is here. He is filling you in this moment. Lord, thank you for those who responded to you today. For those who've received you, those who've answered the question that you asked, do you believe? Would you do a mighty work in the days to come? In your name, amen. During this time, I'm going to ask one more thing. Actually, if you would stand up with me. We're going to close with a couple more songs. But I want to ask you, I feel like God is in this place today. I feel like God is not finished with some of you today. In fact, during this song we're going to sing is come as you are. Come broken, come hurt. Come not all put together. Come as you are. And so during this song, we have people that I love and people that I trust here to pray with you. And so if today, if maybe you made a decision to follow him and you just want prayer to talk to someone, maybe you're struggling with something and you need prayer. Maybe you need healing and you just want someone to pray over you. Maybe you just need a hug. We have teams of people. In fact, two in the front and then one on the side up there, couples on both sides. And they are there to pray with you. And so at any time during this song, I invite you, God, if you feel like God is not done and you don't quite want to leave without a touch from God or prayer from God, I invite you to make your way to the sides for prayer during the song. We can start the song.